Actually, get your Bibles this morning. If you will, open the book of John, chapter 13. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us this morning. John, chapter 13, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, and when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had done all things, had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He rises from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washeth needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, we thank you so much for your word and for what it's going to teach us. But Lord, I pray that our hearts are open this morning to receive your word, not just in our head and our ears, but into our hearts. You know the need of each individual that's here this morning, and I pray if there's one in our midst who's never trusted in your Son, Jesus, as Savior, and that they have that understanding today, I pray that they will turn to Jesus before it's everlasting too late. Lord, there may be other needs here this morning, and as your Spirit moves mightily among us, I pray that you will guide and direct our hearts, and we will obey your leadership. Guide and direct my words this morning, for it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. This morning we're going to discuss Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. As we're going to see in our text, Jesus did this that He might, first of all, testify His love to His disciples, that He also might give an instance of His own voluntary humility and condescension to them, that He might signify to them spiritual washing, and that He might set for them an example. And we'll see these things throughout our message this morning. You know, if you go back and you study the events that were surrounding in the other Gospels as well, that were surrounding this time that Jesus was getting ready to go into Jerusalem for His last hour, if you will, the disciples have been arguing over who would hold leading positions in the government that Jesus was about to set up. And the discussion had been heated. They were caught up in the ambition for position and power and authority. And I have to think about how the heart of Christ was really cut over these arguments. He had so little time left for them to learn that the way to glory is through service and not through position and authority. Service was key. How could He get the message across forcefully enough so that they would never forget the truth? Remember, He's only got a few more hours left here on this earth, and He's still trying to teach them about what it means to be a servant. So it was at this time that led Jesus to wash the disciples' feet and to demonstrate what true royalty is, serving others. Serving others. Remember what Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to minister. unto the lost and dying world. I came to be a minister. Christ washed His disciples' feet that He might give proof of that great love wherewith He loved them even to the end. As we see in our message this morning, is that this same love of Christ is true for all believers, but we're also going to see some, not only does Jesus do some things in the physical, but He's also going to be teaching some great spiritual lessons for us this morning. Back in our text, in verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour was come that He should depart out of the world into the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. So this supper is the one that was held in the home of Simon the leper in Bethany 2 days before the Passover. If you read previous texts in this chapter, or this book rather, and also in other Gospels, you'll find that that's where he had gone to, and he was staying there in this home in Bethany. And this was also the place when Mary anointed Jesus' head and His feet with costly anointment, or ointment, if you will. And in fact, it says in Matthew 26:7, there came unto Him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on His feet, or on His head rather, as He set at meat. You'll find in John 12:3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So these are some events that were leading up to this time, if you will, that Jesus was preparing them in the last few minutes of teaching, if you will, to give to His disciples. Jesus knew His final hour was come, and that He was going to be returning back to His Father. And that's what we find it says, having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Jesus loved them with a very much of a priority love. You know, I truly believe that if Jesus felt He needed to stay here, if the Father felt He needed to stay here another week, He'd have stayed another week. If that was what was felt. But everything that He needed to teach them, and especially over the 3.5 years He had been with them, had been taught. Now, they did not fully comprehend everything He had said. But He had planted a lot of information. I will tell you, if you read even the Gospel of John, if you read through it, there's many things that as you read them, every time you read it, you will find something new that comes out of just reading the Gospel of John. My point is that I don't care how many times you've read the Bible through and through, every time you read it, you will find something new. In other words, you will get a new understanding, not something that's apart from what the Scripture says, but you will get a great depth of enlightenment. And that's why even when we see that as Jesus, what He was teaching them, though they may not have clearly understood it at the moment, I appreciate the one thing that He says, you don't understand right now what I'm teaching you, but you will shortly. You will shortly. And you see, that's when we study the Word of God, that, and we see what the Lord did, especially when He was here and He was teaching His disciples that were there with Him in the early church, is that we need to take note of it and understand if it was important for them, there's great things that is also important for us to learn from the teaching. Look at verse 2 of our text. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was now was come from God and went to God, He rises from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. So one of the things is that we need to understand here is that this royal service was being performed by Jesus Christ. But the service was something that was often performed by a slave. That was generally the individual, if you will, a servant in the house that would have performed this service unto the people. He had taken on Jesus, had taken on the ministry of humiliation at this very point. The highest took the place of the lowest. The sovereign became the subject when He did what He before them. And one of the things that we find here, is that it says that He took His outer garment off, and then He wrapped Himself in a sense of as a servant would, and then He was going to wash the disciples' feet. All 12 of these men were sitting there, including Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray Jesus, as the Scripture says. Jesus washed his feet as well. Now, foot washing was common in Palestine due to the dusty roads. They at times would go to a place and they would take a bath, if you will. But then they were to walk from the bath to the place they were going. They maybe go to their house, they would go to wherever they needed to go, and what would they be walking in? Dusty roads. And most of the time that they walked is that they had sandals, and so by the time they got back to the house, it was often times that they had to rewash their feet because of the fact is that the dirt had gotten upon them. It was a custom, very common, that the wives washed their husband's feet. I'll leave that one out there for you, okay? But at the same time, it was also a custom that the children would wash their parents' feet. But for most, you had to wash your own feet. Had to wash your own feet, okay? But that was their custom. Sometimes the wives would wash husband's feet, the children would wash the parents' feet. But most of the time, you had to wash your own feet. And my wife would tell you, you can wash your own feet. I can guarantee you that. Okay? Now, one of the things that we find is that Jesus did this again. Is that he was, and it says that, notice there in verse 5, is that as he poured the water into the basin, he started to wash the disciples' feet, and what he was doing was going down the row, one disciple at a time, washing their feet. And the thing is that I have to look at this, and because, you know, he hadn't gotten to Simon Peter yet, but I have to wonder is that they had to be thinking, Jesus, what are you doing? I mean, that would have been the first thing. Jesus didn't say anything. It just says he got up from the supper, he took his outer clothing off, his robe or whatever he had on, took the outer clothing, wrapped himself, if you will, in this towel, and took a towel with him. And I have to believe that they were probably sitting there very, I'll use this word, dumbfounded. What are you doing? What is the purpose? Because they've been with him for this 3.5 years. Now remember what was in their minds before. Their minds, they were arguing about position. They were wanting to know, John and James were wanting to know what, who's going to sit on the right hand? Who's going to sit on the left hand in your kingdom? And so they had to be wondering, what is the purpose? And I have to believe that part of what was going on is that in their thoughts, they just didn't have anything to say because they just, maybe it was just something that in their own hearts and minds, why are you doing this? But you see, a lesson was going to be taught that they all needed to hear, and sometimes the greatest lessons are taught without ever saying a word. Just by actions. Just by doing. Now, that we know as we're going to read here in the next few verses that Jesus is going to give some information. But the point is that sometimes an act will say more than all the words you could ever speak. The act can say more. And so as we go here to verse 6, it says, Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now, you know, one of the things I have to look at here, we know that Peter was one to be, he was very outspoken. But in some ways, I have to wonder, and in fact, as we're going to see, his pushback that he gave, is that was some of his pushback as John the Baptist said when Jesus came to him to be baptized. What was the first thing? You come to me, I need to be baptized of you. I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me. And that was the dialogue that was going on between John and Jesus. So in some ways, I have to believe that as this is taking place, there had to be some thoughts in a similar sense. You're going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now. But thou shalt know hereafter. In other words, there's a lesson here. And you see, sometimes that when the Lord is trying to teach us something, is that He says to us, take note, open your heart, open your mind, you will come to understand. How many times, I'm going to go back to my statement about Scripture reading. There are times that we will read God's Word, we take to heart, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We study that, we know that by heart, but do we really understand what that word study means? The study means as I read it. The study means I pray about it. The word study means that I open my heart to an understanding of it, and I think upon it, I meditate upon it, and I will tell you, the Lord then can reveal what He wants us to learn from His Word. That's why I truly believe that this action is that sometimes the Lord does things in our lives. And it can be in our finances, it can be in our job, it can be in our marriage, it can be in our family relationship, it can be in our church, that God starts to open doors that we may say, I have no idea what you are doing here. And He says, you don't know now, but you will see in the near future. You'll start to understand. In other words, we need to trust what He's showing us. We need to trust that even though we can't see tomorrow, we can't see the next day, we can't see a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, we need to trust that He says, place your trust in Me. I'll show you all things. I'll give you an understanding. And in verse 7, when He said there, He says, Peter did not understand the what nor the why that of the service that Jesus was performing, but Jesus did state, Peter, you will soon understand. And you know, I think what ended up happening is that the light bulb started to go on. You know, you remember when Peter was walking on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had been put on the cross, He had died. And we find that Peter was walking on the road to Emmaus, and then also with Cleopas, which I believe is Jesus' uncle, if you will. They were walking on the road to Emmaus, and it says as they were walking along, is that this man showed up. And the man seemed to them as if he didn't have a clue at what had happened in Jerusalem. What had happened to Jesus, He had died on the cross. And as they walked and they talked to one another, and they walked along, and then he was invited to come home and to spend a little bit of time with them and eat with them. And as they started to talk more, it says he opened their understanding. And as a result of that, it says that I truly believe that Peter really then got a hold of it. And I believe this is another one of those moments where Peter stepped back after, even though he was pushing back, he started then to understand what is going on. And we'll see that in this dialogue. Peter says to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And again, I believe that was a John the Baptist type of moment. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now, one of the things that's happening here is that Jesus is doing things in the physical. Remember what a parable was for. A parable taught a physical aspect or a physical story, but it always had behind it a spiritual meaning. Those who were not children of God, they would only understand the physical piece of it. That's why when Jesus often used as an example, He used things of agriculture. They clearly understood about sowing seed. They understood about where you place seed. They understood that if it fell on stony ground, it's not going to grow. If it fell into an area where weeds grow up, it's going to get choked. But they also understood that if that seed fell into a good rich dirt, it would then take root and it would grow and it would produce much fruit. They understood of the parable, they understood about sowing. But the spiritual man, the individual had given himself his life unto Christ, would understand that what he really was talking about was not physical seed, but the seed of the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is spread, and it is spread throughout the world so that all may hear. But sometimes the Word of God does what? It's as the Scripture says, even in the sowing, it says that sometimes the birds come and take the seed for it ever has an opportunity to ever be placed into that dirt. And I will tell you, the devil does that today. He comes across as that even though the Word of God has been preached, even though we start to understand we have this need of salvation, the devil can put obstacles in our life, is if you will, to snatch the Word of God directly out of our minds, and which means it will never get into our heart. Never get into our heart. But you see, the spiritual man that is trusted in the Lord, is that then he starts to understand what the Lord is saying, is that when we look at the Word of God, and it starts to sink in our hearts, that if we allow the Word of God to only be placed in an area that is of a thorns and the weeds and things of this nature, it will never flourish. It will be choked out by the cares of this world. Whereas, if we have our hearts are fertile, if our hearts are ready, if our hearts are receiving the Word of God, then what it ends up doing is that it then starts to grow, and as a result of that, fruit can be born from our lives. As a result. And you see, when we look at this, is that Peter, he's making this statement. He says, verse 8 again, Peter says to him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." But Jesus says unto him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And I think, again, the light bulb went on with Peter, that what he was talking about there is that I understand about the fact of one needs to be changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, when he says, "If I do not wash thee," he wasn't talking about in that sense. And when you study the scriptures, and I've gone back and looked at the Greek words, when you start to look at the washing and the cleansing, is that if we are going to be truly saved, the Lord has to wash us in what's called the waters of regeneration. In fact, we find is that in Titus 3 and 5 it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." 1 Corinthians 6 and 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Ephesians 5 and 26, "That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word." So here Jesus was further teaching the symbolic meaning of redemptive cleansing in this act. The redemptive cleansing. See, one of the things that we need to understand, that you cannot do anything to save yourself. You cannot take enough baths to wash yourself clean before God. There's not a soap. They used to make soap called Lysol. Boy, I'll tell you, that would burn you. That would just rub you raw, if you will. I don't care how much Lysol you use, it will not wash you clean spiritually. Oh, you might get clean physically, but you will never get clean spiritually. It takes the washing of regeneration by the Spirit of God to wash you clean. In other words, it's from an inside out. It's not outside in, it's inside out. It is all because of the blood of Jesus Christ that came and He shed His blood for us, that we might be washed in His blood, if you will. We might be washed by the water, another word, if you will, another phrase that means the same thing. Or we might be regenerated. And that's what it says in Ephesians 2 and 1. It says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins." In other words, "And you hath He made alive." You hath He washed you. You hath He regenerated you. Remember what it said, Jesus said to Nicodemus. In order to be saved, He says, you must be born again. You must be born, first of all, of the water. Then you must be born of the Spirit. And you see, is that you're born of the Spirit, that makes you a whole person. In other words, you've been not only born physically, but you also need to be born spiritually. And the only way that we can be born spiritually is to come to Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive us. And that's why He says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. In other words, He says there is that if I haven't washed thee, is that there is no part with me. There, you can't be. You cannot be a child of God. You cannot go to the Father. You have no home in heaven. There is no place outside of hell without the redemptive change that we have through Jesus Christ. That's why it says in Romans 3 and 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness by the remission, or from the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Look at our text again. It says, verse 8, Simon Peter. We read verse 8, verse 9. Simon Peter saith unto him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." This is why I truly believe that the light bulb went on with Peter. He started to understand, it wasn't that he needed to be saved, but there is a transition here that's taking place, is that now he understands the reasoning for some of the washing that's needed. What is it that we need to have washed our feet? Why is our feet so important? Our feet carry us. Blessed are the feet of those who do what? Take the Word of God. Blessed are the feet that take the Word of God. And one of the things that, why do we need this daily cleansing? It is because what we walk through, and again, there's a lot of symbolism in what's happening here, what Jesus is showing. There's a lot of symbolism in the fact is that we walk around in a world that is full of pollution. We walk around in a world that is full of sin. We walk around in a world and we all have a propensity to have that sin get on our feet because why? We walk around in it. That's our world that we live in. And so as a result of that, that's why there needs to be this daily cleansing. That's why there needs to be that we get with the Lord, that we ask Him to forgive us of our sins so that we may be what? The witness and the servant that God would have us to be. That's why the cleansing was needed on the feet, because the feet is what's used to travel in this sin-filled world. Peter had truly believed, had gained such a greater understanding in just this short moment that God, Christ if you will, had opened his eyes, because that's why, look at the response in 10. Jesus saith unto him, let me digress to verse 9 again. Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. One of the things that he was looking at again is this, I have all these issues coming into my head. I have all these issues coming with my hands. Wash me completely is what he was saying. But think about this. The washing completely, when did that take care of? Spiritually, that took care of when we trusted in Christ as Savior. If you're a child of God, you have been completely washed. You can't get any more cleaner if you're a child of God. It means that you've trusted in Christ as Savior. Spiritually, there is no more cleansing that has to be done. You are cleansed completely at the very moment of salvation. Amen? So that's an important point. But one of the things is that when did the next time take place to where that our heads, our hands, and our feet were cleansed? Is that was the baptismal water. When we went into the baptismal water, is that there what it showed forth is what had been taken place and done spiritually, symbolically, we were showing that we have died to self and we have been raised unto what? Service unto God. We are, and that cleansing, that symbolic cleansing shows that we have been washed from the head of our, top of our head to the very bottom of our feet. And that there was no saving in the water. It was a representation that we have been completely cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been raised to His likeness. We've been raised in His newness to walk in Him, to walk in His ways. And what it also showed is that when we're raised in His likeness, that we are giving our lives unto Christ. You see, all of this in the symbolism that's going on, and I'll tell you, there's probably about four or five different messages going on, physically, spiritually, humility, drawing one together, all of these things. Remember what I said? They had just come off of us, this statement, I want to be great in your service. I want to be great in your kingdom. And there's a whole mind warp and a mind change that has to be taking place right now in real time. A lot of things are taking place that are going on. Jesus is teaching His disciples at this moment. So one of the things is that we find is that when Peter said, is that, well, just wash all of me, because why? I am subject, and I have to look at this, is that he says, I am subject to all of the pollutions in this world. My mind, my hands, my feet are all subject. But one of the things that Jesus was reminding him about is that the point is that when you were baptized, is that was to show forth the cleansing that had already taken place. And as a result, there your head was washed. Your hands were washed. Your feet were washed, if you will, to show that you have been cleansed. What you were saved unto, what you are now a part of, which is the church, which is led by Jesus Christ, you are to be a servant unto the Lord. And I will tell you is that just as our body went through the baptismal water and into the service of the Lord, so did our feet when they were washed, as it shows here by Jesus Christ. Your feet on a daily basis, they are to be not just washed, not just to get the sin off, if you will, of the pollutions of the day. But what it is saying is that not only have I washed these things off through prayer, through confession, through the things that I need to go through in preparing my life for Christ, but I am now giving my feet back to His service. You see, that is one of the things that Jesus is also mentioning here and showing us is that our feet are to give back to the service and our feet are in His hands. And think about this. Think about the relationship. Is that here He is taking and He is washing the pollutions off of our feet. We come to the Lord, as it says in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We quote that, but do we mean it? Do we mean it? We confess. The confession doesn't mean that, well, I'm sorry I got caught. The confession means is that I understand what I did was wrong and I understand what it did to my service unto you. If I do not take it, take care of it. The Lord says that we're not to do what? We're not to hide iniquity in our hearts. We're not to lay up in our hearts iniquity. Why is it that we're not to lay it up? Because our prayers won't be answered. Our prayers won't be answered. So we need to get the iniquity out of our lives. We need to get the sin out of our lives, the transgression. We need to be confessing our sins before the Lord. And as a result, and for this purpose, what ends up happening is that He then washes us again daily so that we can do what? Be of service unto Him. His hands, in this symbolic gesture that He was doing, His hands were on the feet of the disciples, cleansing them, for readying them to go to service again. And you see, if we miss that subtle point, and I think it's not subtle, it's a very profound point. If we miss it, all we're going to do is say, well, Lord, I got that sin off me today, and then, okay, I'm good for tomorrow. No, you're ready for service again. It's always in preparation of being ready for His service the very next day. And you see that I look at this, and I truly believe that what happened here is that Peter really started to understand that the Lord started to open his mind, and that's why he said, Lord, not just my feet, but my head, my hands, all of it. And that's when the Lord then responded, if I wash thee not, he says, thou hast no part with me. But then in verse 10 he says here, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Now think about what he said there. You don't need to be washed again. Once you've been washed, once I've washed you, in other words, what he says, remember, we're moving between the physical and the spiritual realm, back and forth in this discussion, this dialogue. Once you have been cleansed, there is no need for me to cleanse you again spiritually, because once you've been saved for all of eternity. And I will tell you is that that's something that we need to get our arms and our hearts and our minds. I talked about this some a little bit last week in the message. That one of the things is that oftentimes we get ourselves into what I will call a backslidden condition. We'll get our hearts away from the Lord. Even though you may be sitting in this congregation, you can still be backslidden. And as a result, our hearts get away from the Lord and we start thinking on other things. Is that we come, we have no joy. We've come, we're not blessed. We're not a blessing to anyone else. We come and our worship is very timid. Our worship is not unto the Lord. Our worship is, and our attendance is that, well, I need to be here. I will tell you, if that's the only reason you're here, you're going to miss a great blessing. In fact, probably about 90% of what I'm preaching this morning, you're going to completely forget about. If you didn't come to learn something new about the Lord. If you didn't come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And see, that needs to be where we are, because if we get into a backsliding condition, then what happens is our minds, our hearts start to wander from the Lord, away from the Lord, and as a result, we can get ourselves to a situation where we think, well, I'm not saved anymore. No, it's the fact that you walked away from the Lord. You're still His child. He's trying to get you back, but you need to listen to Him. You need to come back. You need to repent. You need to turn to serving Him. Why? You need to let Him wash the corruption off of you so that you can do what? Be of service unto Him again. You see, that is the imperative part of this that we need to understand. He says, where He said, he that is washed, needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. You, Peter, you don't need to be washed again. You don't need to be cleansed again. In other words, you've been spiritually cleansed. What you need is to have your feet washed. I've washed you spiritually. The Spirit of God has cleansed you spiritually. You need to wash the pollutants off your feet so that you can what? Get back into service unto me again. But he also said, ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. It goes on to say here, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you. Now, one of the things is that, again, that I want to, before I move on here, I want to go back here and talk about Judas for just a moment. Though all of the disciples, except possibly Judas, had been cleaned, permanently, spiritually cleaned. And Jesus was teaching them that they needed this daily cleansing. And as we walk through this dirt of the world, we too are going to pick up the pollutions of this world. And I will tell you, it comes at every avenue, every turn. All you got to do is turn on the radio. All you got to do is turn on the internet. All you got to do is turn on the TV. All you got to do is walk out into the job place. All you got to do is go down to the market. Go down to the store. And you'll see and hear all the pollutants. Going to the schoolyards. Years ago, I used to, when I was probably one of my first jobs, is I got a job with the school district. It was a summer job. We were putting down sod and on a football field, and we were going around and cutting grass and stuff like that during the summer. In fact, it was right before summer started. And one of the things is that as I was working in that job, kids would get out for recess. Now, these are fourth and fifth graders that were getting out for recess. I couldn't believe the mouths. Now, this is many years ago. I could not believe the mouths of what I heard out of those children that were out for recess. You roll that forward 30 years, and today you would not believe the mouths of the fourth and fifth graders, third graders. Where are they picking all this up? I'm going to tell you where they're picking it up. They're picking it up from home. Yes, they're picking up a lot of it from peers, but they're picking it up from home as well. It's one thing for a parent to say, don't talk that way, and then talk that way in front of them. That's hypocritical. When you tell a child, do not do as I say, and then you do something the opposite of that. My point is that we pick up pollutions in just about every place we go. And when we look at this, is that it is about the heart. What are we doing as a result? And when we recognize that the world throws all these things at us, Satan is doing everything in his power to get us to become distracted, to get us to imbibe, if you will, in the ways of the world. And you can pick a subject, we'll talk about it all day long, but that's what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to get us to agree. And he does so by trying to desensitize us to what's going on in the world. That's all it is about it. I shared in Sunday school this morning. One of the things is that I happened to read online this week about the... the reason I bring this up is that we were talking about in Sunday school with regards to that men ought to wear clothing that distinguishes them from the women. Women ought to wear clothing that distinguishes them from the men. Thus saith the Scripture. But I was reading online about this one fashion designer who was making clothing, and I believe they used the word engendered. And I had to figure out, what does that word mean in the relevance of clothing? And it basically said the clothing was such that if a man wore it or a woman wore it, you couldn't tell the difference between them, because they were putting on the clothing feminine sashes and things of this nature. And my point is that that's how we become desensitized to all the things that are going on. That's how we become accepting. That's how we become, and what is abnormal becomes the norm. That's how that we start to be drawn away. You see, Satan has time on his hands. As long as the Lord tarries, he's got time. And that's what he does, is he draws us away. And what we need to do is stay in God's Word so that we can what? Discern between right and wrong. So we can discern about what is evil and what is good. The only way we're going to find that is to stay in God's Word, stay close to Him. And that's why we need this daily cleansing. If you wait till the end of the week, if you wait till Sunday to try to get your daily cleansing, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to come to church pretty filthy. Now, it's a good place to get cleaned up, but I will tell you, if that's the only place you're getting cleaned up, you are going to be carrying a lot of dirt, if you will, wicked dirt around in your life day by day. It will affect your thinking, your attitude. It will affect you with your relationship with your spouse. It will affect your relationship with your coworkers. It will have a direct negative impact about everybody that you're dealing with if you're only trying to get cleansed on Sunday. That's why the daily washing, and I believe that's truly why Jesus used the idea that even though that they had just taken a bath at the bath place, and they had a place they would go and take these baths, and then they had to walk home. And when they walked home, they walked on those dirty streets, and the minute they got into the house, they had to wash their feet again because they had all of the corruption of the streets on their feet. And I believe that's one of the reasons why, again, that this daily cleansing has to take place. I can think about this, is that if you ever come in and you've been outside and you get ready to go to bed, especially when the kids come in, they've been playing, they've been running around without their shoes on, the first thing that mom's going to say, wash those feet. You're not getting into that bed until you wash those feet. Get that stuff off your feet, then you can get into bed. But you're going to get those feet washed. Because why? You're carrying in all the traffic and all the dirt and the pollution. That's why it says, James said this. He says, James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. In other words, what he said to the child of God, you've got to get rid of all this naughtiness, this filthiness, this superfluity of naughtiness so that we can what? Then we can receive the word of God. That's why the cleansing had to take place. Now here again in our text in verses 10 and 11, the washing and cleansing are not automatic, nor do they become come by association. So you cannot be cleaned because you are associated with your parents, as an example. You cannot become clean because your spouse is a child of God. In other words, just by association. I've heard many people say, well, my grandma, she was a good Christian, therefore that makes me a Christian. No, it doesn't. She might have been a good Christian, but if you have not trusted in Christ as your Savior, you cannot be saved by association. That's why he says you're not all clean. Judas had given the appearance of being a true disciple of Christ, having been a professed follower and servant of the Lord. And yes, Jesus did choose Judas to be an apostle. That he did do. But the question is, was he chosen? Many are called, few are chosen. And what does that mean? The world is called unto salvation, but few choose Jesus. There are many, the Lord says, that are going to come and they're going to say to me at that day when I judge them, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done all of these things in your name? He says, I know you not. Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I do not know the heart of Judas. I do not know if this man was saved or not. You do not either know if this man was saved or not. But I believe that one of the things is that if, let's look at this from two perspectives. If Judas was saved, he had, even though that he walked with Jesus day in and day out, he had allowed himself to give his heart unto Satan. And as a result of that, of giving his heart unto Satan in this sense, is that all of the things that formed in his mind were all being driven by his greed, by his whatever, this idea, I'm going to make some kind of money, I'm going to make a name for myself. He had allowed himself to get to a point to where he became a tool for Satan, and a saved individual can become a tool for Satan if he was truly saved. And being cleansed, you're not all clean, could have meant, I'm giving you two sides here, could have meant is that even though that he had given a profession of being cleansed, is that he had not allowed the Lord to wash the daily corruption off of him, and he had allowed Satan to, remember what I said, if you don't get sin out of your life, and if you just get it out of your life, you've got to get Jesus in your life, because if you get Satan out of your life and you don't let Jesus come back in to guide you and the Spirit of God, what's going to come back in? Satan's going to come right back in. And I'm talking about how he influences us and what he does. Now the other side of that. So again, I don't know his heart, and neither do you. Because in one sense, if you go into the book of John, you'll also find that Jesus actually referred to him as a devil. He was a betrayer. He was a traitor unto Jesus Christ. But it may very well have been that he had made all the professions, the outward professions of faith, and he looked like they did. He had been baptized by John the Baptist. He had given all the statements that, yes, I'm a child of God, but he was an imposter, never trusting in Christ as a Savior. And Jesus then very, very well could have said, ye are all clean, but not all. In other words, Judas is an imposter, and they would never have known because they could not see the heart of man. See, you can fool me. You can come up here and fool this church and say, yes, I'm a child of God, I trusted in Christ as my Savior. And that could just be words. But I will tell you, if it sounds credible, we're going to say, amen. You sound credible. We accept your statement of faith. But you see, your life is going to ultimately show whether or not you're really a true child of God or not. Because the Lord does say you'll know them by their fruit. My friends, is that it's imperative for us to understand, if you're trying to get to heaven on good works, good name, good fortune, by the people you associate with, and you die, you're going to go to hell. If that's the only way you're getting to heaven. We could go out here and we could dump all kinds of water on you, and it will never wash you clean. But if you trust in Jesus as Savior, and let Him wash you, and let Him cleanse you, not only will He cleanse you and wash you and make you whole, but if you'll let Him, He'll wash you daily so that you will be whole, so that you can be His servant. Goes on to say in our text, so after He washed their feet, He asked them, verse 12, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. I got to believe in some ways it was a big gulp that took place. Remember what I said, they were all sitting there, they were all in a row, and Jesus came to every one of them and washed every one of their feet individually. And I have to believe and think about this, is that as a result, they're wondering in their minds. They're wondering in their minds, why is He washing our feet? But remember in the dialogue with Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing, but you will understand it soon. And the soon was coming right now. The soon is coming right now. You guys are so worried about what? About having a standing. You are so worried about being in some position. You are so worried about where you're going to sit, my right hand, my left hand. You were so worried about those things. You were so worried about self-glory, self-honor, self-adulation. I want to talk to you about being a servant. A servant. And as he went on to explain, after he finished washing their feet, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now one of the things is that when we look at washing the feet, what are we in our culture today? Our culture today is, here in the West, we don't have the foot washing like they had there. It was not an ordinance that he was setting forth. There's only two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper, that's it. But the washing is that it started to show that we are to be servants, we are to help one another. We're to look upon an individual. You know, so many times in our lives, and you've heard me speak about this in other messages, we all want acceptance. And oftentimes to get acceptance, we often do things that what? Lift ourselves up so that people accept us. You're not walking on me. I'm somebody. The Lord says, I'll give you a paradox. If you will abase yourself, that means you lower yourself before the Lord. He says, I will lift you up. And isn't He the only one that we really care about what says about us? Isn't He the only one that we really care about? Isn't He the only one that's going to say whether or not He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. Isn't He really the only one that we really care about? Because you see, if He's not the one that we really care about, we're only caring about us. And our lives will be lived accordingly. When we care about what He thinks about us, when we care about that we are exalting His name, when we care about the fact is that are we serving Him to the best of our ability, I will tell you, it will have a life change. You'll start to look at people differently. You will look at them, first of all, for those that are not saved, you'll look at them as they need a Savior. You will not look upon them and say, the downcast, the downtrodden, the people that you just are estranged to, and you will not say to them, well, you don't have any, God wouldn't save you. You'll look upon them and you'll say, Jesus loved you just like He loved me. People that have some kind of a need and that you can fill it, you'll be willing to fill it. And I will tell you, if it comes to washing somebody's feet, you'll gladly do it. You'll gladly do it. And again, the washing of the feet is a symbolic statement. And you see, as He said here, He says, if I have been your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. In other words, one of the things that I need to be doing and you need to be doing, I need to look at you, especially as a member of this congregation, I need to look at you as someone who is equal with me. I need to look at you as a child of God, as someone that is equal with me. Because you see, when we start to look at one another, that you're equal with me, that we're one in Christ. Granted, we have different positions. We have different roles. Don't get me wrong, that God has set forth. But when I look at you as equal with me, I will tell you, I would be more than happy to wash your feet. Because I, at the same time, whether you did or not, I know that you'd be just as happy to wash my feet if the need arises. You see, that's when we start looking at one another and we start deeply caring for one another. That we start looking past all of our differences. We start looking past all of our insecurities. We start looking past all of our personality traits. And I will tell you, we all have personality traits. We all have insecurities. We all, and at times we walk in, what am I going to think about me today? What are they going to think about me today? If you're a child of God, I think it's my brother or sister in the Lord. And if you're not, I want you to be my brother or sister in the Lord. I want you to be a child of God. I want you to be washed. I want you to be cleansed by Jesus. That His blood washes away your sin. That He prepares you to be what? Servant. And you see, that is what we ought to be taking away this morning. I've washed your feet. You are not greater than your Lord and Master. Wash one another's feet. Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, we thank you so much for what you've taught us, what your word continues to teach us and to give us a great understanding. But Lord, most importantly, you know our hearts. If there's one here that's never trusted in your Son as Savior, we pray as we have this invitation that an individual would receive Jesus as Savior. And maybe there's other decisions. Maybe we've been struggling with the pollutions of this world. Maybe we need to come to this altar and just pray to ask the Lord to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it may be the servants He would have us to be. And may we be willing to wash one another's feet. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.